Welcome back, Kelly listeners. We just want to start off this week's episode with a huge thank you for all the support on our intro.
Yes, and if you didn't get to listen to it, I suggest you take a few minutes to listen to our intro so you get to know us a little better.
Yeah, you can listen to us on the Anchor app.
And also on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Pocket Cast.
Make sure to leave us some reviews, comments, suggestions, and even applauds on Anchor. Again, thank you so much for listening to this episode.
With Kelly Unsolved.
So what you just heard was a reenactment of the 911 call made the day that Maggie took her last breath. Let's begin.
I am one of five children, and we were born and raised, or not mostly raised, but we were born in Fairfield, California. I have two sisters, two brothers. I am the middle child, and my mom pretty much raised us to always have manners, to always be kind to others. She was very loving, outgoing, funny. She was kind of a weird mom, but a very loving one. One that actually, you know, paid attention to her kids. I'm not talking about other mothers, but, you know, she was just very all about her children, right? So, like, she would take us to McDonald's. I mean, nowadays McDonald's is more expensive, but then she would all let us get our own meal. Come on, an 8-year-old getting a Big Mac fries and a Big Coke. Yes. So we were like super excited every single time my mom actually did little things like that. She would always surprise us, like on Sundays, it was like family days. She'd be like, go put on some warm clothes on, and we're like, where are we going? And she'd be like, if you ask, we're not gonna go. So we would just hurry up, go get ready.
So you feel like family was the most important thing in her eyes?
Of course, she would always be about family. She would always be about her kids. So, but one thing is for sure, just a little bit of my mom, she was 31 when she passed, and she was born in El Paso, Texas. So along with raising her children, she always had an issue. She had insomnia, so she couldn't go to sleep at night. So she would take over-the-counter medication, you know, just to help her go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you ever saw that being a problem in your childhood?
Not when I was young. No, not really.
Can you tell me a little bit about your dad? I know we haven't really heard much about him.
Well, my dad, he was a very serious man. Everybody was so afraid of my dad. But he wasn't a bad guy. He was just very serious all the time. And he loved us, too. He always, you know, we'd always say goodnight to my dad. And my dad, well, of course, he would always go with us everywhere we went. As in their marriage, you know, you couldn't really tell. It was very, I didn't see too much love between them now that I'm talking about it. Like, I never really seen, like, that lovey-dovey. Maybe once in a while. I remember one time my dad was hiding in the closet. I'm sorry, my mom was. See, this is why I'm like, no, that actually was my mom. She was hiding in the closet, and my dad was going down the hallway, and, like, she snuck out of the closet to scare him, right? And my dad was like, oh, what are you doing? Like, well, they didn't make a big scene, but me and the kids and my mom, we were laughing. My dad was like whatever about it, you know?
It was more serious. It wasn't as funny to him.
He was more serious, but, I mean, I never seen it odd, I guess, until later on my mom, she ended up getting a job, which was kind of weird because I never seen my mom work out of all those years. I mean, I was only, like, 12.
So as a kid, your mom never really, like, was employed. She was just a full-time stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, homemaker, straight-out homemaker. Took us to school, picked us up from school, you know, made dinner. The daily mom chores and daily mommy duties.
And was your dad gone a majority of the time?
Yeah, well, my dad was the one that would bring home the money, you know. We lived in a 4-bedroom house, big house. It was a blue house. I can still remember the address. It was 1025 Whooper Way.
That's crazy. Yeah. To remember something. Do you feel like the house, like, was significant to you, like, memory-wise?
Oh, yeah. Like, when I go up to visit my family, it's always a thing for us just to, like, drive by the house.
Was that one of the last, was that address one of the last times that you felt happy with your mom?
Yeah, I think that's why I passed her there, because it's just happy memories.
Do you, you're getting emotional. You're going to make me cry.
Having a family was, it's obviously one of the main things, you know? So at that time, I didn't know, I know that we would do our, we were Christians. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a Christian background. It wasn't until my mom got that job that things started going downhill.
So when you say your mom got that job, where was the job at?
She worked for the soul food restaurant. I want to say that after she got that job, I think she found her independence as a woman. She was very young when she had us, right? She was a young mother. So when she got her job, I feel like she found her independence, that things started changing.
And without you bashing your dad, obviously you care a lot about him, but you just saying that to me, do you feel like your mom didn't have an independence while she was with your dad? And just so it's more clear, your mom and dad divorced. How old
they
were you?
They actually were never divorced.
So they never legally got divorced? No. But they separated, right? Yeah. So how old were you when they separated?
I was about 11 years old. 11.
Mm-hmm. And your mom was about how old at that time?
I want to say about maybe 29 and a half, going on a 30. Because I remember we used to joke that she was turning 15, that she was half her age.
Oh, okay.
So I do remember that, but yeah.
And so do you think, so you're saying that she got this job. Did she get this job before or after the separation between the two of them?
It was before, because I think my mom kind of knew that, you know, her kids were growing. We were all getting older, and she was having less responsibilities with us. So I think she kind of felt like, hey, it's time for me to do something with myself now. Mm-hmm. So I think that, honestly, I don't know exactly why, but that's what I think happened. Mm-hmm. So after she got this job, you know, my mom was excited. She was coming home with big tips. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like $100 a night at that time. Maybe $200 of tips that night.
So making her, yeah, and making her own money made her gain that independence.
Yeah, and maybe also that, there's a word I'm looking for. Confidence.
Okay. Kind of like a disclaimer that anything that you say is only from your eyes.
Yes.
We're not going to be speaking and putting words into anybody else's mouth. I know that there's a lot of family that is involved. And so I don't want anyone to feel that I'm trying to put anybody words into anybody else's mouth, because I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking these questions and you're just telling me the answers from your eyes. So, okay, so your mom got the job. She started gaining more independence. And then how did that change the family dynamic?
My mom started maybe coming home a little bit more later, working long hours. But at that time, I think that my dad didn't know, or maybe felt like he didn't have a hold of her as before, because she was always there for him, no matter what. She was there to help him. Food, cook, whatever, you know, a housewife. Mm-hmm. So now that she was doing her thing as working and stuff, I think that it started changing in the sense that my mom would get off work and it would be like this vibe in the car. Like, you just kind of knew that they were already mad at each other, that we would have to wait for her because we would go and pick her up. I remember we would wait in the car with my dad till my mom got out. If my mom would walk out talking to somebody, like, my dad would kind of get, like, I don't know, you can always tell, like, I don't want to say jealous, but he kind of questioned who that was that she was talking to.
So I know that you said that you started seeing the dynamic between your parents change. How do you think that affected your siblings? You said you were about 11 years old, so you have older siblings.
Oh, we were like, for us, I think it was like the best time because we kind of were being a little bit rebellious, doing a little bit more. We would go sneak in the backyard and, like, we would see like those black and miles, and me, my older brother, and my older sister.
Wow.
Would go in the backyard and light the black and mild and smoke it and stuff like that. But we didn't really like knew what we were doing then, right? But I mean, I think we were just more a little bit more rebellious because our parents were more lenient with us now. It wasn't that strict dad anymore, or my mom wasn't on top of us as often.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, as time went by, the restaurant moved to a different location, but then she also got a new owner, and that's when things really started changing.
So before it goes a little bit too deep into that, I don't want this to be all sad or bad. I want to ask you a question just for record's sake. What was your favorite memory with your mom?
When we sit down and watch movies, she would always come and bring us like this new movie to watch. Oh, you guys have to watch this movie. I don't know if you guys know this movie with Patsy Cline, Sweet Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
That was like one of our favorite movies.
And that's so sweet to me because I feel like you do the same thing with your kids.
Really?
You're always like, it's movie night. Let's just sit down and watch movies.
Yeah, so those are like the best memories. We would go and get like food. And it was funny because my mom was like, okay, you guys are hungry, let's go get something to eat. What do you guys want to eat? And half of us would want McDonald's, and the other ones would want Taco Bell. She would go to both places to satisfy us all. Like, that's how great she was.
My mom would be like, either you guys all decide or we're eating beans at the house.
Well, see, the thing is, my mom did cook, but she also wasn't the best cook, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was just not her thing. Her thing wasn't cooking. Her wasn't like Betty Crocker cooking in the kitchen or anything like that, but
All right, so you said that your mom went to a new restaurant, right? And there was a new owner, or it was the same restaurant?
It was the same restaurant, but with the new owner. What happened was, I believe the restaurant was called Catfish Bob's or something, and then they moved the restaurant to another place, and they were still the owners, but like maybe in the 6 months later, a new owner came in that bought the restaurant. And that's when things really started changing. My mom really started coming home late.
So it had to do with the owner?
Yes.
And so at this point, about how long has it been? Is it within a year span, 2 years?
About a year and a half, almost 2 years now.
Okay, and at this point, how's the relationship between your mom and dad?
It was like a secret. I remember when I was home, like, I would come home from school and I would call her. She wouldn't answer the phone anymore. And I remember one time I called her, and I think the phone must have been in her pocket or something, because she did answer, but it was like she answered, like, you know, like the butthole, but she actually answered.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Mom. And all I can hear is them talking. And I really couldn't hear because it was muffled. But at the same time, it hurt my feelings. Like, I remember as a child, I felt so lonely and sad. Like, she didn't care for me at that time.
So, going from, you know, super homemaker to always being home and being there to answer your guys' every request to kind of just falling off a little bit. Do you blame her job?
No, I don't. Because we're all responsible for our own actions.
Do you say that now after, you know, as you're an adult?
Of course.
But at the time, you blamed her job.
Yeah, I blamed her job. I blamed the new owner. I blamed all her coworkers. I hated them all.
And so this new owner, it really does make a difference in the gender and sexual orientation. So he was a male.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that made a difference, because what did you think?
I just felt like this guy came around my mom, thought that she was beautiful, and was just more flirty with her, more playful, because I would go to the restaurant to help her. Like, just waitress. I would take people's orders and, you know, put the napkins out and the utensils and put up the ketchup bottles. And when I was there, I would remember the way he would act with her. And I would tell him, you need to stop talking to my mom like that.
So you were actually in the restaurant seeing things kind of conspire between them.
Yeah, and I didn't like it. Like, but at the same time, my mom would be like, Grace, she would call me Grace Nut. Grace Nut, stop being so mean. Leave him alone. She would say things like that, but I didn't think anything of it.
What about your older siblings? Do you know, I don't want you to put words in their mouth, but did they ever specifically express to you how they felt about the situation during that time? Not now.
No, I don't think, because we were just young, that I don't think that we ever really like sat together and like, let's talk about it. No. I think it was just all our own, how we felt. At that time, that's how I felt. At the time, that's all I knew. That's all I seen. I didn't know any better, right? So this man was coming around our lives all of a sudden, and he just kept coming in and out, and I just knew that he needed to go away.
So then you as a kid saw it. Did your dad see it?
Yeah, I think my dad did see it and noticed it, because I met our parents. One thing is, our parents never fought in front of us. So when we knew that we were going in the room with the door shut, or my dad would come out and say, Maggie, I need to talk to you. And they would go to the room. We already knew that they were going to have a conversation, right? But at the same time, we didn't know if it was going to be a good conversation or a bad conversation. There would be times when mom would stay. There would be times when she would just leave. And she would end up staying at my grandma's. We wouldn't see her for like a day or two. And then a day or two became a couple of days. And then she would just come home and get some clothes and leave. But when we had her home, like, we took advantage of that night that she was home, right? And we would just pretty much be with her. So we would stay with my dad in the house.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we would stay with my dad. I remember nights like that because I remember one time we were at home with my dad and he was just all of a sudden this happy dad because he was being nicer to us and cooking with us. And I remember he worked for a hunting preserve place, so he would bring home like pheasants and whatever they would hunt, but it was good. We ate it. It was really good. He would make it in this sauce and we would eat it, and it was like fun, right? My dad would do as much as he can to make us happy and see us happy. He would say goodnight to us. He would still do his part as a dad. Mm-hmm. He didn't ignore us. He didn't neglect us. He didn't do any of that. He was still dad. We still respected him and everything. Then, you know, it leads to the obvious. Mm-hmm. But overall, at that time when I was a child, I just felt like I knew that my parents were going to split up. I knew that something was going to happen. Something was going on and it didn't feel right.
And was there something dramatic that happened where they finally separated? Or was it just...
It's kind of a blur for me and how that all happened. I just know that we were selling the house. We sold the house. We moved down to San Diego. And, you know, my little brother and my big brother stayed with my mom. And us girls became with my dad. Like, that's pretty much all I know.
And then after that, you don't really know what was going on with your mom and brothers? Or were you still in...
No, they were living with my grandma. The thing is that my mom had moved in with my grandma. So my mom just started living with my grandma and my brothers, and then we moved down to San Diego. And of course, some of that stuff happened when that we were up north still. We knew that my mom and my dad were separating already, and we knew that this new guy was coming around all the time, and we knew eventually that it happened to be her boyfriend, I want to say, but not really, because I don't even like to say it till this day that it was. But he kept coming around, and knowing that my mom had a medical diagnosis of insomnia, and he was a retired doctor or a disabled doctor, I think he tried helping her by giving her something better.
So let's just call him Jim for legal purposes, and let's just say... So your mom's Maggie. I know we've said that's her nickname, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I don't really know if we really said her full name. But so her mom is Maggie, and her boyfriend now at the time was Jim. And so what you're saying is that she was medically diagnosed with insomnia. She was already taking like over-the-counter medication for it. He comes along, he's the owner of the restaurant that she's working at, And he's also a retired physician.
Correct.
And so now he starts prescribing her stuff.
Correct.
Do you know any of the things that she was ever prescribed? Or, I mean, not really, he didn't really prescribe it to her, right? Because he was no longer practicing?
I don't think, see, that's the thing. I don't know if he was really practicing at the time. But I know he was a doctor, went to, you know, a school of medicine, Zeb University, mm-hmm. Boston, I believe. So, I know he was able to do that for her. He was able to get medication for her, prescribe medication at that. Maybe it was a controlled substance. I don't know at that time. But I knew she was all of a sudden taking new medication. She wasn't taking over-the-counter medication anymore. Now she was taking something stronger.
And at this point, you're living here. You're no longer living with her, so you don't really see the day-to-day.
At that time, we were still living up north. We were still going through the process of selling the house. Okay. So it was within months before we moved down to San Diego that my mom really started changing, you know, the way she would dress. She had long hair before, and now she had, like, short hair. And now she was smoking. She was kind of a wild child, a wildflower.
Was it smoking, like, just cigarettes or?
That I knew of. They were mostly, like, black and miles and stuff like that. But, you know, she was, at the time, she also looked happy. Like if she found herself being who she wanted to be at that time. So I don't blame her for that specifically. But she still had a responsibility for other kids, right? She had.
Were you okay with how she was changing because you saw her happy?
Yes and no. When it would come to, I don't want to say she neglected us, but when she wouldn't be around us so much, then I would blame her new personality and be like, she's this totally new person. Like, why is my mom acting this way? But at the same time, she was also very fun. She would take us everywhere. She would, you know, like, let us have parties. I remember one time I had, like, a Valentine party at the house. She brought me a strobe light when my friends came over. Mm-hmm. And we had, like, this nice little party at my house. It was, like, so much fun. Mm-hmm. I thought my mom was, like, the best, coolest mom in the whole world. But at the same time, when the day would change, she would change. She wasn't the same person anymore.
Did you see it progressively getting worse?
No, but I didn't see it getting better.
So do you know, I know that you said that she took over-the-counter medication, and that, as far as you know, he was either prescribing or suggesting. He was either prescribing or suggesting other medications. At any point, did you ever see your mom do any illegal substances or hear of her doing any illegal substances?
No, she wasn't about doing things like that. I mean, she did go out with her cousin and her sister, but I thought that was a normal adult stuff. Who doesn't go out once in a while and mm-hmm. stuff? So I didn't think that was not normal at the time. Because my mom would still have us with her. Mm-hmm. We would go to Six Flags with my aunt and stuff. We would have fun. But at the same time, I was a young child. I didn't know what a controlled substance was. I didn't really know what drugs were. Mm-hmm. I just knew drugs were not good. But the actual names of the drugs, I had no idea.
And so, we're going to go over the medical records, like, within the next few episodes. But the one thing that we do have right now is a death certificate. And the reason why I'm asking so many questions specifically in regards to the substances that she was taking is because of the diagnoses on the death certificate. And when was the first time that you saw her death certificate?
I had seen it before, but I didn't actually, like, understand it because I've never seen a death certificate ever. But when my sister sent it to me and I read what it was, I was just baffled.
And can you tell them what it was, the diagnosis on there?
It was a lethal dose of benzodiazepine intoxication. And at the bottom, it said descendant ingested lethal amount of benzodiazepine.
So, basically, So I just want to take this. So this is actually from WebMD. So it says the benzodiazepine abuse overview. And it says benzodiazepines are a type of medication known as tranquilizers. Familiar names include Valium and Xanax. They're some of the most commonly prescribed medications in the United States. When people without prescriptions obtain and take these drugs for their sedating effects, use turns into abuse. Do you ever think that your mom had a drug problem, even with the quote-unquote controlled substances?
I didn't think so.
And so I feel like that's why it's a little bit more alarming to see that on her death certificate, right?
Of course.
When you... Well, now we're both... Well, you used to be both in the medical field. Mm-hmm. That's always going to stay with you. Now that you have the knowledge of what these drugs entail and what they can do to you, after reading the diagnoses again, what was your initial thought?
When I seen lethal, I'm like, man, how much did she actually take? Lethal to me, it's like, you're actually looking to commit suicide. And that's what my initial thought was, like, was she trying to take her life? But then all these thoughts came in my head. How can she leave 5 kids?
She never had that personality to ever leave you. Even when she was seeing Jim and it was less time with you.
I never thought it would even go this route. I never even thought that a young 31-year-old mom would die and leave 5 kids behind.
And now how old are you, Gracie?
I'm 31.
And you have how many kids?
4.
How does that make you feel?
It's sad because I would never leave my kids.
And being the same age that your mom was when she died, how is that feeling?
I think about it and I get really sad. I get really sad because I don't even have words for you guys. I'm sorry. Knowing that she was 31 and she had 5 kids, what could we have done as a family if she did have an issue with an addiction? Which I don't think that at all. I don't think that she had an addiction.
And I know we kind of have our own theory now, looking back into it, but specifically with this death certificate and the diagnoses, you can confirm that you personally do not feel like your mom ever had a drug problem or would ever want to commit suicide.
No, never. I would never think that. And I mean, ultimately, some listeners might think, well, you know, I'm just saying that because I'm her daughter and I wouldn't want to think that. But if you look around, if you really look at all the pieces, because that's all I have, is pieces of the puzzle that I'm trying to put together here, is you would know, with what you know, what I know, that that's not what happened to her. That she did not try to take her life away. I knew she had more to live for.
And so, I want you, so at the beginning of this episode, you heard the reenactment of the 911 call, like we said. But what was the call like when you found out?
Well, we were in San Diego. My mom and my dad were going to reconcile. She had moved down. So she was with us for about a day or two. And I remember that night. It was like the best night ever. And she left. She came back up north. And I remember my uncle, her brother, her older brother, kept calling and calling. And my dad was out fishing for the day with my brothers. And I finally asked my uncle, like, Uncle, what's wrong? You keep calling him. Uncle would never really call that often. So you knew something was up. But that day, I do remember when my dad finally came home, I said, Dad, you need to call my uncle. He keeps calling. He says it's about Mom. And I remember my dad being on the phone and just saying, okay. And he hung up. And he just started crying.
Did he tell you right away?
Yeah, just that she fell asleep.
Thank you.